Hallelujah. Sister Jamie, would you stand and hold that baby up? Isn't that beautiful? She was a little bit anxious all during the time waiting, but everything's beautiful. And she has got a babysitter galore. Adriana, don't worry about anything. She is Adriana to the rescue. Father's Day. Let me just say, I'm glad that you're here. If you came to show respect to your father or memory of your father, I thank God for that. I saw a letter to the editor. Well, it was posted every Father's Day. They do this. And it said, to the father of the that father may be here. I don't know. I hope. Said, to the father of the most dysfunctional family around. And it was beautiful the way they outlaid it, and it had a good ending. So it might fit somebody. I don't know. I'm not going to be preaching about Father or Father's Day. I'm going to be preaching about a time to stand. If there has ever been a time to stand, we're in that period of time. And I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 16 and Daniel chapter 11. Brief passages, they'll have it on the screen. We are in a war. If you've not recognized that, you're not up to date by any means with current conditions. We're not in a battle, we are in a war. The greatest war that this nation has ever seen is going on right now. I want to show you the origin of that war. I want to show you the extent of it. I know chapter 16 and verse number 13 specifically deals with Armageddon, tribulation. But let's read verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the triune, ungodly triune. They're the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, I want you to recap two or three things in verse 14. They go forth into the kings of the earth. It's a worldwide campaign. Their objective is to entice them, to lead them into the battle of the great day of God Almighty. People want to minimize the devil and his army. We don't play with him. We have authority over him, but we don't joke about him. Jude didn't say do this, that. He said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Verse number 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. We won't go back and reference that passage, but we wanted to get that before you in order to have some understanding of what we're going to say. Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Would you pray and ask the Lord to touch me as I say some things today that I feel like that is in my heart from the Lord to say. Father, help us to be behind the cross, always to emanate you, to flow in the Spirit of the living God. Help us to have wisdom as we speak, to be pointed and to be concise, not to waste words. Let the glory of God be revealed. We'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, and above all, I want you to know that Satan has an agenda. He's not just bouncing around. There is a plan. There is an agenda that you need to understand. The interest of this world, the system of this world, reflects that agenda. Do you believe that? John chapter 10 and verse number 10 gives us that agenda. The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That enemy is working against you personally. He's working against your home in the family sense. He's working against society overall. He's an enemy, and am I talking to you? The political world, and we're going to be talking politics in a vague way. The political world is shaped by the devil. You can call it Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, whatever. It is shaped by the devil. This nation is a trophy for God and a trophy for the devil. God is bidding for this nation, and the devil is bidding for this nation. If you don't believe it, watch the news. Everything spiritual is slandered. Everything unspiritual is applauded. Doesn't matter how it all comes about. The entertainment society, the segment of entertainment, is originated by the devil. God doesn't come up with programs that parade half-naked, two-thirds naked people around. God is not author of programs that use profanity and suggestive themes. God is not in all those. And Hollywood is not smart enough on their own to do these things. There is a power behind all of this, an intelligence behind all of this, that's pushing the envelope as hard and as far as they can. And the reason they're pushing the envelope is they're waiting for a response from the church. And the response from the church has been very weak and very limited and very puny. And therefore, Hollywood, as they produce these programs, they look around and say, we've got it made. What used to be our deterrent, what used to be our barrier, no longer is a barrier. They're no longer a vocal protest. There's no longer a violent aspect. So they push the envelope a little bit more until we've arrived at 2017 and there's nothing barred. There was a barrier through my youth growing up. There was a barrier against this kind of ungodliness. There was a barrier against entertainment that was filled with profanity. I'm talking about entertainment that does not speak to the mind, but it speaks to the basic nature of man. There was a barrier. You could not use language that was ungodly. You could not use profanity. You may suggest it, but you couldn't use it. Today, there is no restrictions. Am I talking to anybody? That's not the whim of man. That is an intelligent orchestration going on. It's the devil trying to wear down the people of God and try to wear down civility. Amen? Y'all don't know what it is. Hello? Don't look at society and see their movies that they're producing and see the trends of society and say, well, it's just a sign of the time. It's the devil. There's an originator of it. He plants it. He's a spirit. And he plants his ideas and his suggestions into the mind of people that will have influence. Am I talking to anybody? So this morning, I want to be able to talk about the unseen enemy and establish the fact of his existence and activities. And I want to apply it somewhat to the election that we just come through. I know that's going to excite you. If you think all that's going on is just hap chance, you are thinking wrong. If you think that all that's going on is just the sign of the Democrats leading or the Republicans, you're thinking wrong. Behind all of the clamor, behind all of the chaos, all of the vileness, there is an intelligence. There is a personality, and his name is called Lucifer. Satan, Diablo, the devil, he's working overtime. He knows he has but a short time to work. Am I talking to you? This enemy first showed up in the Garden of Eden. He had no weapon. He had no sword. He had no spear. He did not need any. He had something far more powerful than swords and spears and bullets. He had words. He shows up in the Garden of Eden with words, intelligent words, intellectual words, suggestive words. And he kind of eases up to Adam and Eve, the only two that were living, the only two inhabitants of the garden. And this intelligent being, the word, the Bible calls him, is extremely full of beauty in Isaiah chapter 28 and Ezekiel chapter 14, vice versa. But he saddles up to them and he begins to listen to their conversation. And no doubt, see, if you didn't give him a clue of what's going on in your life, he wouldn't know how to harass you. Y'all didn't hear that. We are so prone to tell him all of our problems, and he hears you on the phone discussing your problems and sinking deeper and deeper, and he says, I don't need to investigate. I know what the problem is. I know what the problem is, I know how to act against it. And therefore, he sends some imp down your driveway to get you all cross-eyed, to get you discouraged. And if you'd have just shut up in the beginning, he would not have known that about you. Hello? We don't need to tell him everything. You say, well, he reads your thoughts. You can't prove that. You don't know whether he does or not, but I know once you speak the words, he knows what you're saying. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, my strength and my redeemer. You're justified by your words. You're condemned by your words. Let the words, she mentioned in Sunday school, let the words be few. Amen. Hallelujah. So therefore, if you think that it's just hapchance, he showed up in Eden, in that garden of tranquility, with no weapon, just language. And by his words, Adam and Eve were influenced. They didn't have cable. They didn't have satellite. They didn't have any. They just had a beautiful devil talking to them and saying God did not mean what he said. That's all. That is old as the devil is. Surely God did not mean that. Surely that well, you just got a misquote of that. God did mean it. And so therefore, you know the story. And so from that moment on, they were expelled from Eden. And from that moment on, the devil said, I know how to harass society. And he's recruited aeons of imps and demon spirits and powers of darkness. And they have swayed nations. They have swayed civilization. They have swayed churches. They have swayed holy men. They have intoxicated and initiated wars. Am I talking to you? America is as real as it is a result of, we are what we are because there's an enemy. Somebody say amen. Help me out. Hallelujah. Now I need to say that although some things look bleak and some things look hopeless, that's what our message is about. This nation, let's bring it up to where we, this nation, America, for a long time has been on a downward spiral. Hello? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that we are not what the nation used to be. We can call it whatever it is. This nation has been on a downward spiral for a long time, and this election that we just come through was a corrective measure. Please, I'm going to take my time so you can listen slow. This election that we just survived was God's method of a corrective measure. God said, okay, I see where you're headed. I love you. You've been a great nation. You've sent missionaries around the world. You've supported my cause. You're going wrong. I'm going to correct it. I'm going to give this nation a chance to vote for somebody that will be different than the previous administrations for whenever. Hello, are y'all ready to ride this boat? The election, let me say it again, was a corrective measure, and America, it was geared up to stop the downward spiral. Because we believe that we've gone a far ways from God, but we're not too far to be reached. We believe that there's still time. Wednesday afternoon, mid-afternoon, in prayer, God began to deal with me about this election because I began to get frustrated. Brother Lemon and Brother Gary and myself, we solve these politicians. Every Wednesday and every Sunday, we just know how to do it. but they're not listening to a word I say. But in prayer, God began to deal with me about some things about the election, and I want to share them with you. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. When America was drifting, it was shocking enough when the church was drifting, but here's the problem. As the nation was drifting away from God, the church has been drifting away from God. So there needed to be correction in the nation and in the church. You cannot heal the nation if you don't heal the church. You got to get the church and its members living by the Bible, living by the Word of God, at no matter the cost. Get it in, and God intervene. God loves the church with all of our bad, with all of our flaws, with all of our mess. God loves. That's unbelievable, isn't it? He loves you in spite of you. He loves the world. Am I right? That's what the Bible says. He loves us. Amen. And so listen, the election was started a few weeks ago, and God saw that leaders can either bless or curse. Deuteronomy 28 is a powerful, powerful chapter. Leviticus 23, they're powerful chapters on the blessings and curses of God Almighty. And so God can either bless elections, and so this election took place. Can I talk to you? 17 candidates called on the Republican to 18 counting Mr. Donald Trump. And he deliberated. A non-politician. Lord help me to do right. And if this nation ever needed a non-politician, they needed one. Am I talking to you? They needed somebody that had not been branded with the system. And so I don't know whether it was an intuition, I don't know what happened, but at some point Mr. Trump said, I'm going to enter the race. I heard the media experts say, ha, 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 he'll never live in the White House. He's there. I heard the politicians sneering at him, the establishment sneering at him. He'll fade away. We'll chew him up and eat and spit him out in just no time. He won't be a contender. When the primaries was over, 17 of them had dropped out, humiliated, lost the battle, and Donald Trump was the man with the nomination. You talk about stunned. I remember telling somebody on Tuesday of Election Day, I said, by 8:30 tonight, you will know that Donald Trump has won this election. And it happened. I mean, it just, the color went out of their face. The experts were no longer experts. They begin to whip up agenda. Let's see how we can spin this off. I can tell them how. Raise their eyes to God Almighty and say, he would have never got there if God Almighty hadn't steered the steering wheel. Amen? Am I talking to you? And in a matter of weeks, the whole political scene of America was in a disarray. And a series of events began to be initiated that has stunned the world. Europe is rocking, reeling. Asia is reeling. Everybody, how can this be? The Democrats are having a fit. And that don't bother me. But the knotty-headed Republicans are ready to betray them. Am I talking too blunt? I know you didn't come to church to hear politics, but I'm telling you, what I'm trying to tell you is behind what's going on, there's a hand. There's a God. And he leads the affairs of men up to us, but when he needs to, he's got the option to step in to make these correctives. Am I talking to you? So a non-politician, an outsider, well-known, entered the race, and the career politicians laughed at him. See, that's the whole thing right there, those career politicians. Amen. Am I talking to anybody? So since January the 20th, Inauguration Day, this hostility has intensified. Never in my life. And so we in the church realize it's now a spiritual war. We're no longer Democrats versus Republicans. We're no longer libertarians. We are now believers in decency versus people who don't believe in decency. I mean, when you can see it on your television screen, help me not to slander, some female, and I got a lot of words I could add, taken a portrait or whatever it was of Donald Trump's head and thinking it's a big thing. Do you remember seeing all that? And could not believe it when people rose up in indignation against her. It was a joke. I didn't mean it. Now they're trying to ruin my career. Her career is gone. And then the smut that comes out of the late night comics. I'm talking about raw, unbridled smut, and it's all aimed to one man. But let me tell you something. If it's getting to him, he don't show it. He's right back on Twitter, whatever the Twitters are. He's right back. He's not found him a den anywhere in a cave. He's got lawyers that are high-dollar lawyers trying to nail him. The politicians of Washington are getting together with the lawyers of Washington, and they're saying, how can we spring the trap? We're going to out him. Am I talking to anybody? I know you don't want to hear this from a pulpit, but I've got a point. Amen. They're not going to be satisfied until they topple this government. They're what they call the deep state. They're plotting behind the course. How can we get him? What charges can we get? You know, on this, we're going to impeach him. They're furious. You can feel the hostility. Amen. And they had this little kumbaya meeting at the ballpark. And that was supposed to heal all the wounds and heal all. When you can drive a sword so deep in somebody that it cannot be healed. But now here's the deal. These brash people that are so vulgar, that are so ungodly, that are so full of bitterness, they don't realize that Jehovah God is seated upon the throne. He sits high and he looks low, and there's nothing going on that catches him by surprise. And listen to me. Hear me this morning very well, very plain. There comes a point when God is going to act. And that's what God dealt with me about, and that's what we want to talk about for a little while. Amen? Think for a moment. That walking around holding that head up, the D.C. shooter. He would not, are you Republicans or Democrats? Do you remember? He don't want to kill a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, I know you just put the earplugs in. Just don't come after me after church. I'm going to have my crowd around me protecting me. But he asked. He's got a sinister motive. And he asked, are you Democrats or Republicans? And they said, we're, you know, whatever they were. And he's got an agenda and he shoots. He doesn't care what the name of the person is, but he wants to kill Republicans. If that would have been a Republican with that weapon shooting Democrats, there would be blood in the street. But God has given some civility to the Republicans. Sometimes I think it's a coward spirit. They just lay down and let themselves get kicked all over the place. Am I talking to you? Decency has gone. Barriers have been toppled that have kept the hours of darkness back. The church is the final barrier that is holding corruption back. Do you believe that? When I was a child, it wasn't the church necessarily. Families had values. They had values. You didn't lie. You didn't betray. You held your word. But somewhere down the shuffle of time, the values of families begin to loosen. And now the house that used to be the home is a place to hang your hat and go to McDonald's and get your speed meal. House is just a place to sleep in. It's no home. Used to be the school was a barrier. Filth said we're going to come and take society over. And school teacher said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. School said, yeah, we're going to, you might come this far, but we're going to teach children. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That didn't save them. That didn't redeem them. But it planted in their mind that there is a God that's called Father. Hallelujah. But somebody, little splinter group, little nincompoops, whatever that means, little people that's got a beaded brain, said you are scarring our children by saying that prayer in school. You can't do that anymore. And the government of the United States, that is the biggest and best government in the world through the years, cowered down and got politically correct and said to our school boards, you can't let your teachers pray. It's going to distort the mindset of those students. And so therefore now they have a moment of silence. One of them praying to Buddha, one of them praying to Mohammed, one of them praying to nobody, one of them praying to NFL stars, whoever they are. And the school is no longer a deterrent to the vulgarity, to the mess of our, it's pushed and pushed. And am I talking to anybody? The home lost its barrier. The school lost its barrier. The government lost its barrier. The government said, well, we can't speak. You can't say anything anymore because somebody's going to get a lawyer and scout you down. You can't vocalize anymore. If you say, in fact, as I read it this week, there's some states now are bidding for the right to forbid the sexual gender on your driver's license. The patrolman pulls up beside you. You got long hair and a long beard. And he says, sir, because that's what you would say to a long beard, long haired person. Sir, well, I guess you would. Let me see your license. Oh, I see that you're neither nor. What are you? Well, yesterday I was her. But today I'm going to be a him. Such foolishness. It's not comic book stuff, it's real. And we just sit in our rocking chair while they pass this ungodly, unrational legislation, and we say, well, it's a sign of the barriers are being torn down. And the final barrier, the last barrier has been is to be the church. Am I talking to you? Amen? We're in a period of healing. We the church. I believe it with all of my heart. And when the last barrier, that's what's happening. The lashing out of ungodliness is trying to topple that barrier. And God said, in my prayer paraphrase, God said, I'm going to raise a barrier back up. America is going to have one last opportunity. I'm going to put a man that he may not be a godly man, but he's not an anti-God man. Do you understand that? I'm not up here saying Donald Trump is a Christian. I don't judge him. But I do know one thing. He's not anti-God. Just like some of you are not Christians, but you're not anti-God. You believe in the power of God. You believe in the principles of the Bible. And God, let me get on the record. And God said, according to my thoughts, God said, I'm going to raise up a non-politician. I'm going to put him in that White House. I'm going to let him be able to raise up the last barrier. There'll be no more barriers. And he is in the office. Y'all missing what I'm trying to say. He didn't just come there because he's smart. God said I needed somebody in that White House that is not intimidated by the politicians. That is not going to cower down when he's threatened by censorship. When he's threatened by sanctions, when he's threatened by he's been threatened by everything you can be threatened by, but he just comes out smiling and the news reporters go crazy and say, would you believe he tweeted this? I mean, I personally, I'd like to whisper in his ear and say, get off of Twitter, because you make me jitter. But listen to me, Donald Trump is in the White House because God allowed him to be in the White House. And I'm not saying he's invincible. He may well, listen to me carefully. I've got no divine revelation, but something come on me Wednesday afternoon that I know it was the Spirit of God. I don't know that he's going to finish his term out. I make no prediction. He may, but he may not. But if he does not, Go home and mark it down in your book today. If they impeach him, push him out, it is over for the well-being of the United States of America. Call us a has-been. He's the deterrent. Am I getting anybody worked up? He's the final barrier. See, before there was a school, there was a home, there was a government. We believe that the government was had our back. If we stepped out on a diving board, so to speak, with an issue, but somebody named Madeline Murray, McMurray O'Hara, said, I don't want prayer in school. And one naughty brain woman had enough influence to cower a nation down. A whole nation filled with bright lawyers, governors, politicians, senators, congressmen. And they all said, well, we better go along with her. Where are the politicians that say, we don't have to go along with her? And that's where Donald Trump comes in. He was, how could, they still are reeling in Washington. 6 months down the road, they're still trying to figure out how he got in. Here's what I'm going to tell you. They cannot believe that people like you and I have got any voice. They don't realize that their taxes that come flowing in Washington, D.C. come from us. Am I talking to you? Come from us. And they don't realize that we go in the ballot booth and we vote our conscience, and most of the time our conscience is not for them. They think that we're nothing, but we believe in decency. We believe in honor. We believe in the system that God created. Amen. So therefore, they cannot accept, they cannot wrap their mind around the idea that peons like us have got to say so. They listen to New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles, but in between, they just dismiss us. But on that Tuesday night, January the 20th, they didn't, or whatever the voting day was, November, they didn't dismiss us. They paled. And they thought, hello, church, they thought that they could push Mr. Trump over. Now, somebody's going to walk out and say, I am totally for Mr. Trump. He's got flaws like all of us do. But right now, there's not one debate in my mind at all. He is where God wants him to be. Amen? He is where God wants him. And the thing that would make me feel so good, I'm not saying it's the will of God, but the thing that would make me feel so good is after his lawyers, after the attorneys of, and after the special prosecutors and after all the stuff, pulled out all the guns and knives, so to speak, to try to get him down if he was coming out exonerated. That's the gasket that would blow right there. This nation has never been in the condition it's in right now. Ever. Civil War was bad, but it's not as bad. There's not the hatred that is in this, that was then, that is now. There is raw, unadulterated hatred against people that are for the. We are conservatives. We don't believe in this wacko mess. We believe that there's decency. We believe that if you work, working is an honor. I did read where it said, if you don't work, you know, am I talking to you? The barriers, y'all going to give me just another minute. The barriers, the church are in a period of healing. Here's where I'm bringing it to a close. God is giving America another breath. Please understand that. We don't have time to squander. In order for America to be great again, the church has got to come out of the woods. We've got to once more embrace a standard. We've got to once more embrace God Almighty and not be ashamed to talk for Him. We've got once more to get back in the business of evangelizing. Winning the lost, the church, energized by God, is going to be the last barrier, and it is the last barrier. Mr. Trump is the final, I'm telling you. If they kick him out, if they do anything and impeach him, and they have legality to do it, it's the darkest day. Wednesday afternoon, I saw in my mind, It wasn't a vision, but it was a vivid picture in my mind. I saw Washington, D.C., and I saw a cloud black as night hanging over Washington, D.C., and it was like the Spirit of God spoke to me and said one prick of an ice pick could cause that cloud to dump judgment on this nation. We're walking and living under the judgment of God Almighty. Hurricane season is in right now. I'm not predicting. God's got weapons that, you know, he's got ways and means. Do you remember reading in Samuel where God said God has devised ways to bring his banished home? Does anybody believe what I preached this morning? I know the Facebook will be covered this afternoon. This president and this society will not hear the churches. Let me redo that. Society will not hear the church, but Donald Trump will be heard. He will be heard. There's never been an elected official. I mean, where are the days of Samuel Ervin, Jesse Helms, people that spoke straight, that didn't have wishy-washy? I mean, they had caliber. They had backbone. I wish somebody would stand up. I got some millions of taxpayer dollars. Listen, I'm closing. Millions of taxpayer dollars is being spent to impeach him. Millions. Money that could be spent to feed the hungry and whatever to impeach. There's a heavy cloud hanging over Washington. It's a cloud of judgment. We don't like to hear that. How many know what it took to get Jonah to turn around? It took a storm. America endured 9/11. Everybody cried for a week and a half, just figure of speech. Everybody was crying and heartbroken because of the catastrophe, 3,000 people dead. And in just a matter of weeks, business was usual. Katrina come along. Everybody cried because it was such devastation. They got over it. There may come storms down the road that it'll take more than a few days to get over. I mean, if they interfere with electromagnetic pulse, you could go to your car and try to start it and it would be just sitting there. You'd have no power in your home. There'd be no electricity anywhere ever at all. You couldn't buy gas because the gas pumps wouldn't work. You couldn't go to the grocery store because there'd be no way they'd get supplies. And North Korea's, you know, who knows? Who knows but what God would say to North Korea? I know this is going to be twisted. I know this is going to be. Who knows but what God would say to North Korea? I love America. I've done everything I know to wake them up, and they won't wake up. It's your turn to take them. Stand with me now. Hallelujah. Can